Afterward. The scene in which Roland bests his old teacher Court and goes off to Royster in the less savory section of Gilead was written in the spring of 1970. The one in which Roland's father shows up the following morning was written in the summer of 1996. Although only 16 hours passed between the two occurrences in the world of the story, 26 years had passed in the life of the story's teller. Yet the moment finally came, and I found myself confronting myself across a whore's bed. The unemployed schoolboy with the long black hair and beard on one side, the successful popular novelist, America's Schlockmeister, as I am affectionately known by my legions of admiring critics, on the other. I mention this only because it sums up the essential weirdness of the Dark Tower experience for me. I have written enough novels and short stories to fill a solar system of the imagination, but Roland's story is my Jupiter, a planet that dwarfs all the others, at least from my own perspective, a place of strange atmosphere, crazy landscape, and savage gravitational pull. Dwarfs the others, did I say? I think there's more to it than that, actually. I am coming to understand that Roland's world, or worlds, actually contains all the others of my making. There was a place in Midworld for Randall Flagg, Ralph Roberts, the wandering boys from the Eyes of the Dragon, even Father Callahan, the damned priest from Salem's Lot, who rode out of New England on a Greyhound bus and wound up dwelling on the border of a terrible Midworld land called Thunderclap. This seems to be where they all finish up. And why not? Midworld was here first, before all of them, dreaming under the blue gaze of Roland's bombardier eyes. This book has been too long in coming. A good many readers who enjoy Roland's adventures have all but howled in frustration, and for that I apologize. The reason is best summed up by Susanna's thought as she prepares to tell Blaine the first riddle of their contest. It is hard to begin. There's nothing in these pages that I agree with more. I knew that Wizard and Glass meant doubling back to Roland's young days and to his first love affair, and I was scared to death of that story. Suspense is relatively easy, at least for me. Love is hard. Consequently, I dallied, I temporized, I procrastinated, and the book remained unwritten. I began, at last, working in motel rooms on my Macintosh PowerBook, while driving cross-country from Colorado to Maine after finishing my work on the miniseries version of The Shining. It occurred to me as I drove north through the deserted miles of western Nebraska, where I also happened to be driving back from Colorado when I got the idea for a story called Children of the Corn, that if I didn't start soon, I would never write the book at all. But I no longer know the truth of romantic love, I told myself. I know about marriage and mature love, but 48 has a way of forgetting the heat and passion of 17. I will help you with that part, came the reply. I didn't know who that voice belonged to on that day outside Thetford, Nebraska, but I do now, because I have looked into his eyes across a whore's bed in a land that exists very clearly in my imagination. Roland's love for Susan Delgado and hers for him is what was told to me by the boy who began this story. If it's right, thank him. If it's wrong, blame whatever got lost in the translation. Also thank my friend Chuck Verrill, who edited the book and hung with me every step of the way. His encouragement and help was invaluable, as was the encouragement of Elaine Koster, who has published all of these cowboy romances in paperback. Most thanks of all go to my wife, who supports me in this madness as best she can, and helped me on this book in a way she doesn't even know. Once, in a dark time, she gave me a funny little rubber figure that made me smile. It's Rocket J. Squirrel, wearing his blue aviator's hat and with his arms bravely outstretched. I put that figure on my manuscript as it grew and grew and grew, hoping some of the love that came with it would kind of fertilize the work. It must have worked, at least to a degree. The book is here, after all. I don't know if it's good or bad. I lost all sense of perspective around page 400, but it's here. That alone seems like a miracle. And I have started to believe I might actually live to complete this cycle of stories, knock on wood. There are three more to be told, I think, two set chiefly in Midworld and one almost entirely in our world. That's the one dealing with the vacant lot on the corner of 2nd and 46th, and the rose that grows there. That rose, I must tell you, is in terrible danger. In the end, Roland's quartet will come to the nightscape which is Thunderclap, and to what lies beyond it. All may not live to reach the tower, but I believe that those who do reach it will stand and be true. Stephen King, Lovell, Maine, October 27, 1996. This has been a recording of Penguin Audiobooks.